we're going to go ahead and begin because there's so much info on this. And we want to have time for the tea party at the end. We have some gifts and surprises. And so we want to have time for that. So my name is Deborah Nance. I'd like to welcome you. This is my daughter, Alicia Estes. And I'm just going to tell you the title of the workshop so you know you're in the right place. But since you know we're going to have gifts and prizes, you probably don't want to leave anyway, so stay right where you are. The title is Tea Parties, as you can see, and Wedding Party, to the Wedding Party. And we're trying to cover everything from when we trained our young girls up through when Alicia had her bridal party, her wedding tea party. And say, although this is not Alicia's dress. Yeah, it's pretty, but it's not quite cheap. Because hers was just too big and heavy to carry. So we have mine, which is 40 years old, and it's just lucky to be hanging there at all. And I feel the same way. Ah, dear. Well, I hope that you all got a notebook and that you got a cup of lemonade and a lemonade placemat. Now, you probably realize by now that we invited you to a tea party. We're serving you lemonade. But you know the old saying, when you get lemons or really cute lemon placemats, you serve lemonade. So that's what we decided to do. And those placemats are a gift from us to you, and we hope you enjoy that and the notebook later, which we're going to discuss. Well, as you probably know, there are hundreds of books and materials, maybe thousands, on the mother-daughter relationship. I think we researched them all, don't you think so, Alicia? And so what we just decided to do in the end was to share with you what has worked for us in our relationship. And we do have over 31 years combined teaching experience. And Alicia has also had opportunities to counsel young ladies in Wisconsin, in South Carolina, and then here in Indiana, where she and her husband have been on the Birch Terrace Youth staff for 11 years. And so I value her counsel to me. And I'm going to ask her to come and begin just as soon as we have prayer this afternoon. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for each of these ladies who've taken time from their busy lives, who desire to learn more of you, fellowship with other believers, and gain insight they can use in their homes. We ask that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll figure this out. Okay. Well, when my husband and I sat in the hospital holding our first child 7 years ago, I remember distinctly the nurse coming in. You probably all experienced this, and they hand you the baby, and then they hand you the birth certificate and some forms, and then they leave the room. So that overwhelming feeling of, I'm a mom, I'm responsible for this, that sets in. So I told my husband, can you hit the call button and tell her she forgot the instruction manual? Come back. But I'm sure many of you have had that same thought. And for our daughters, we wish that the instruction manual had answers to tough questions. Of course, we have God's word. But the questions such as, how do I guide this girl into womanhood? How do I protect her from ungodly influences? How do I keep her from rebelling? How can I help her be passionate for God? How can I remain her friend into womanhood? How can I get her to really talk? So Mom and I have made an effort to help in just a small way by compiling your notebooks that you have in front of you. This is kind of our best effort at the very beginnings of a manual for mother-daughter relationships. So hopefully, as you go along your journey, you'll add to it and find a lot of helps for yourself. We're no experts. We've hit bumps in the road. I was teasing her yesterday. I said, Mom, I have to be nice to you all day tomorrow. I shouldn't have told you. So that, because we're doing that, no. But anyway. And yeah, well, in fact, the book that I read, this little lady said the same thing. I'm sorry. It's not a microphone. It's just a recording device. Sorry. But anyway, as the book said that we read, we are extraordinarily ordinary. We're just ordinary people. And even while researching for the seminar, we learned a lot by spending many precious hours together just talking about what the Lord had done in our own family and in our own relationship over the past 30 years. Did you tell? In her book, Raising a Daughter After God's Own Heart, Elizabeth George describes moms as sheep bells, which didn't really sound flattering to me at first, but I went on to read that shepherds usually have sheep that always stay right by their sides. So they attach sheep bells to them so that the other sheep always know where the shepherd is and they follow that. So moms, are we sheep bells? Do we follow so closely by Christ's side that our daughter can follow right in our path? So that as we bring our relationship to our daughter closer, we're actually getting closer to Christ as well. In our discussions, my mom asked me one day, Alicia, what's the scariest verse in the Bible for moms? Anybody have a guess or an idea? I know, scary verses that... No? Okay. Well, for us, it's very... For us, it's 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Moms, if our daughters followed Christ exactly as we do, would it truly lead them directly to Christ's feet? When my own daughter was born, I was thrilled. I have two boys first. And finally, God had given me a little girl that I could share memories with and hopefully have the same wonderful relationship that I have with my mother, that my mother had with her mother, my grandmother. And so I went to my mom, and I did this. I went to my mom and I said, okay, what did you do? What's the secret of raising a daughter? Now, I'm a list girl. There are others of us out there who are list people. Admit it. We are list people. So I wanted mom to make me, you know, a 10-step checklist for rearing a daughter, and I could just go down and check things off. But she informed me that there was no checklist, but years of hard work and prayer and time making memories. So our first point here today is in your Bibles, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, a very familiar passage. We're going to look at it and break it down a little bit today. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, it says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them to thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates." Point number one on your outlines there is nurturing a mother's personal relationship to Christ is the foundation of solid mother-daughter relationships. Kind of reminds me of the instructions when you're on an airplane and the steward or stewardess gets up there and they say, you know, they're doing this thing and the oxygen masks come down, put yours on yourself first and then your child. That kind of sounds selfish. So I said, I want to help my child first. But the principle is the same. If we don't work on our personal relationship with Christ, then how can we be of spiritual guidance to our daughter? In my search for this first step that I could check off my list for rearing a godly daughter, I found it all revolves around my personal relationship with Christ. And that's what Deuteronomy says, isn't it? I like the end of verse 6. These words shall be in thine heart, moms. Spend vast amounts of time on your own personal relationship with the Lord while you build your relationship with your daughter. I always knew that my mother did this very thing. I know I don't have a teenage daughter yet, so my perspective for you today is what I learned from my own mother and the impression that she's left on my life. So this first step, I guess mom was right. There's no checklist, because building a personal relationship with the Lord will be a lifelong goal for all of us. Step number two on your outline, developing a godly home atmosphere for a strong mother-daughter relationship requires prayer and planning. As a daughter growing up, I never really thought about the fact that my mom was working on our relationship. It seemed that as I grew older, all those things that were fundamentally important to my parents were all just ingrained in me. We were always at church. No excuses. We were in the ministry, and it was fun. It was always so much fun for us. We were constantly serving others together. The Bible was such an integral part of our home that it's all I've ever known. We openly talk about it. So I guess boiled down, God, His Word, His ministry was our life, and we loved that. My mother exemplified the rest of that Deuteronomy passage that we read. Teach God's word to your children, now this is my interpretation, in your house, when you're out and about, when you're driving in the car, when you're talking, when you're memorizing scripture together, when you're shopping. Do we get it? Teach God's word all the time. Make God and His word the center of our life. And we know that. Matthew Henry's commentary takes those verses in Deuteronomy, and he gives us four commands that he gets from those verses. Meditate on God's word. Consistent training of our children. Constant discourse about God's word, and frequent reading of God's word. So are we consistently doing these things with our children? In Carolyn Mahaney's book, she asks mothers this question: what does 24 hours in your relationship with your daughter look like? Is it mostly tension or mostly fun? Is it mostly tears or laughter? Is it talk of God or empty words? Or maybe there's nothing really but silence. And there will be difficulties along the way. But no matter the difficulties in your mother-daughter relationship, the problem isn't the other person. It's not just a mom who's hard to get along with or a daughter who just won't listen. And in our research, it's easy to see. We're not going to find answers in modern psychology or talk shows or anything that's out there. And I liked this statement, and I want us to think about it for a minute. A primary source of our trouble is that both of us, mothers and daughters, have forgotten God's purpose for the mother-daughter relationship. So if the problem is that we've forgotten God's purpose, then what is God's purpose? And you may want to write this down. I think I left place for it on your sheet. The purpose of the mother-daughter relationship, the Bible states, it is to pass on the legacy of biblical womanhood that commends the gospel. To pass on the legacy of biblical womanhood that commends the gospel. Yikes, how do we do that? We have to create a plan. So checklist people, we get to make a list. That makes us happy. So number three on your outline there, planning for a strong mother-daughter relationship requires thought toward parenting goals. As a new mom 7 years ago, I didn't have clear parenting goals. That was something that I had to work on with my husband. I took a class on parenting once with a very dear friend in the ministry. She called it Moms and Muffins. Maybe some of you have been to that as well. And I'm no expert chef, but I did understand this concept, and it was eye-opening for me. And it's a simple concept, but I just thought she so aptly stated it. She called it Moms and Muffins because she was explaining if we want blueberry muffins, we have to put in the ingredients for blueberry muffins. So we have to follow the recipe. So if we want a godly young woman, then we have to put in the ingredients to produce a godly young woman from day one. So have you ever made a list through prayer, asking your husband? It's surprising some of the things that my husband felt were important that were just different than my thoughts. And to sit down, make a list of what some of these goals are that we have for our children with in mind what we want to produce for our children. If we were making muffins and we had no recipe, they'd probably, at least with me, they'd turn out to be a mess. And I think so were our daughters if we don't have clear parenting goals. So I put on your sheet just a few scriptures with ingredients that we can put into our daughters' lives. Some of the qualities of a godly woman that we see in the Titus passage. Of course, Proverbs 31, Timothy, Peter, all these include some character qualities. And I suggest sitting down, listing out character qualities, strengths and weaknesses that you might see in your children, things that you want, the behaviors you want them to have, and then make a plan about how you can implement those things at each age. You know, when they're 2 years old, I want a daughter who, you know, loves God's word. So what am I going to do when she's 2 years old to produce that when she's 20? What am I going to do when she's 6, when she's 10, whatever the age? Do we have a list? Do we have a plan? Have we thought through those very specific things? And then number four on here is praying. Praying praying is the blank there. For a strong mother-daughter relationship becomes a lifelong mission. We all know that we should pray for our children. But what does that look like? Again, I needed a list in my hands. I'm telling you, I'm neurotic about it. Mm-hmm. So about 5 years ago, I did. I sat down. I happened to read The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy O'Martian. But I sat down and made a list of things to pray for my children, very specific things. And then beyond that, I went to God's Word and I found Scripture to back up all of those things I was praying for, so I could use the Word of God to pray through Scripture for my child. And I included that in your notebook, and we'll look at that in a minute. But again, I guess I can't check prayer off of my list. It's another lifelong thing for our children. And my next question to my mom when I got my brand new baby daughter was how we developed the closeness that we've always shared. And you know, I don't remember it. We've just always been close. And she began talking to me about winning my daughter's heart, and it's an encouragement to me, and that's what she would like to share with you today.
Well, Alicia was being gracious. I wish I had known as much 30 years ago as she knows today. So when we selected our workshop title, I wish I had included joyful relationships in that title, but it was already so long, creating, building, maintaining strong mother-daughter relationships. But I suppose if anybody asked me, what do I think is key to a strong bond, I would say joy. A lifetime friend of mine who knew my mother well said, "I believe your mother has the greatest capacity for joy that I have ever seen, and Alicia has inherited it." Well, now you're thinking, oh great, I've come to a seminar for information and the speaker says, be happy. But no. We are going to talk about God's joy. But God did not design the mother-daughter relationship primarily so we can be good friends or be comfortable with one another or even be joyful. God does want us to build the strongest bond we can with our daughters because he has a high purpose in mind for girls and moms, and that is to bring honor to the gospel by biblical womanhood. Years ago, our family claimed Psalm 78:4, showing to the generation to come the goodness of the Lord and the great and mighty things that he has done. And our mother-daughter relationships affect mothers and our daughters and the mothers of the future. I owe so much to a joyful, godly mother who actually influenced Alicia, and even though mom's gone home to be with the Lord, because of her heritage, she influences Alicia's daughter, Julia, as well, who is 2 years old. My grandmother was also saved, so there's 5 generations of women in our family who have gotten to know of the goodness of the Lord and the great and mighty things that he has done. And I think Timothy's grandmother and Lois and Mother Eunice should be heroes for all of us in the Bible. You may actually, however, have just become the first one in your family to know of the Lord and be saved, and are the first one in that generation of women. But that's a wonderful blessing to know that you are maybe the first one in your family and you can tell your daughter and start that heritage. And so really that is quite an honor. We all know that joy comes from the Lord, and we can all grow in that fruit of the Spirit. Joy affects attitude, and attitude is very important in a mother-daughter relationship. And in other places as well. I taught for 20 years, and I just felt that I did not have the luxury to have my students come in, and I was having a bad day. I had a headache. I was being a little mopey.
as a testimony, I owed it to those young people to be the same every day, as often as I could, or as much as I could, and give them a joyful classroom. And if we do that other places, we sure can't, in our own homes, have our emotions go up and down. Our words can make a huge difference in our daughter's spirit. And I know that you, just like I, have heard mothers who don't always use kind speech to their own children. And we know that the Bible says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Don't you love to see your girl smile, your little girl smile? But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And when we use bitter words, unkind words, it's like taking one of these little teacups, scouring it with an SOS pad, and it's clean, but we leave scratches, little bitty scratches, that never go away. And we do not want to use bitter words and put scratches on those little spirits, because they do stay there. The children will grow. They'll you know, live for the Lord. But we don't want to take a chance on having those little scratches in their spirit. A positive, joyous attitude is contagious and encouraging. I believe God would have all of us grow in joy. Children need a joyful home. And it will help you win your daughter's heart. I hope you came from a joyful home, but you know, some may have been reared in a completely different environment, maybe a bitter or a critical environment. That happens often. Sometimes we have what we refer to as baggage when we go into a marriage and have children. And it could be many things. Low self-esteem, rejection. One of the ones that I often see is when ladies think that they have to be as perfect as some other Christian lady, or their home needs to be as what appears to be a perfect home. And we need to, with God's help, make the choice, and it is a choice, to turn to Him to help us heal so that we can give a gift to our daughter of a healthy relationship. There's so many topics in here that we could have Bible studies on. Bible study on joy. Bible study just on so many things in here. So I'd like to stop ever so often and say, wow, they're about this topic. But we can't do that because of time. But there is one thing. No matter what our background has been, no matter where we came from, we can all have a deeper faith through prayer and Bible reading. That's for all of us. One author said, you cannot impart what you do not have. And I really liked that saying. We have to serve as role models for the kinds of lives we would like for our daughters to live. And if you're like me, that takes a whole lot of praying and growing and reading. But we need to show our daughter what a true faith looks like on a daily basis. And it will win your daughter's heart. Just another step. It's important to get the heart of your daughter at an early age. We can be friends. We don't give up our God-given authority. We base our friendship upon that authority that God has given to us. But we can have friends, be friends. And may I add here that I have a little granddaughter in Wisconsin as well. And she's one of my best friends in the world. And going to go see her in a couple of weeks, and I'm very excited about that. She wants to have a bed and breakfast, so she sent me a form to fill out so for when I come to the bed and breakfast. Ask my favorite foods, so I think that's okay. But I'm so thankful for the relationship she and her mom have. I have a wonderful daughter-in-law. Our goal is to win our daughter's heart and affections so that we can lead them in the ways of the Lord. It's critical to make the greatest impact in her life now, because in the years out, when you're going to be discussing those intimate and important details when she's older, it's critical that you've already gotten her heart at that young age. So how do we do that? Well, I wish I had an answer for you. But all I can tell you is, I think it's time. I think the answer is time. We need to make a concerted effort to be with her right from the very beginning. I call that right height playtime. I was playing one day with Alicia's son Jackson when he was just a toddler, and he was on the floor. I was right next to him on the couch, and he was saying, "Play with me, Mama." And I said, "Jackson, I am playing with you. We're right here. We're playing." "No, Mama, play with me." And finally, I got down on the floor next to him, happy as he could be. To Jackson, playing meant I needed to be right there in the floor. I think that's important, to meet our kids down there in that world. We enter their world in that way. And sometimes we might feel silly down there on the floor, talking to the dolls, building Legos. We have to resist that urge to be silly. It's okay to be silly sometimes. Even with the older kids, even though they may look around and say, "Okay, that is not my mother." But they like that sometimes, so don't worry about that. What you do need to do is to resist that urge to jump up, leave them with the pile of toys, and we catch up on Facebook, or we go do that load of dishes. And I'm not saying we have to entertain our children all the time. That's not good either. But I am saying, even though, and you guys know all this information that I'm giving, I know you do, but sometimes, like Alicia with her checklist, we need to look back over that list and say, how long's it been this week? Have I gotten down and played with them and really spent that critical time with them? When I was trying to remember some of the things, right height playtime with Alicia, I remembered that she used to line her Cabbage Patch and other dolls up on the bed. I had to sit on the bed, and I had to answer in baby voices. Not one baby voice. They all had different voices. And she knew what they should sound like. She opened a bank in her room. Her dad got her a full-size cash register from somewhere. He's always been her partner in crime. He still is. He still is. But she created files on all our friends. I had to go in, open bank accounts, you know, and so forth. She built a library and put little pocket envelopes her dad had bought in the backs of all our books. My college textbooks, she put them in all our books. We had to check out our own books. If they were late, we paid fines on our own books. There were lots of tea parties. There was the bridesmaid tea party the day before she got married. Now, it was kind of a bittersweet tea party. But I guess, moms, I'm just trying to say, enjoy that short, and it is short. Isn't it short? Very short time with those girls. Busyness is your enemy. Busyness is our enemy. Someone once said, when our children grow up and they're older, they will remember two things about their childhood. One, how happy their home was, how much love was in their home, and how much time you spent with them. I would encourage you to serve as often as possible with your daughters. At church, going out soul winning, cleaning the church, sewing costumes, whatever it is. But it's important to be together at church. Go out for special outings or mother-daughter weekends. cultivate common interests. Alicia and I love the ocean. We love to travel. We love music. And we love literature. We love discussing lesson plans. I mean, and people are thinking, English lesson plans, who does that? But we do that. Alicia and I have taken a lot of trips together. I have to be honest. There were times when Alicia was not always encouraging. We drove to Topsail Island, North Carolina, just the two of us. And I may have taken a few wrong turns. Yeah, she was reading the map. She was laughing. She was laughing. And we stayed in a condo for a couple of weeks, for two summers, while she worked on her master's in South Carolina. And I may have fallen into the swimming pool, and I threw my cell phone to her to catch because I didn't want to destroy my phone. And she caught it, but she was laughing. And last year, we went to Shipshawana, and as I was driving along at the speed limit, I've never had a ticket, and I've been driving a long time. A deputy sheriff stopped me for speeding and for not having a sticker on my bumper. And so then when he came up and started talking to me, and it's okay, he did have the wrong car. And I knew he had the wrong car, but you don't say, oh, you got the wrong car. So he had gotten the, it wasn't me. And he did find the sticker on the back. So he came up, and he was so kind, and he said, you know what, you go on your trip and have a good time. I said, a good time. I was shaking. I was... And she was... you know what she was doing. Yeah. We do crafts together. We go to the grocery. We go to CVS, which we affectionately call bonding through couponing. Uh-huh. And I help her roll the beads for the polymer clay business they have. I have to roll the beads. She gets to put all the pretty colors on them. I'm hoping to get to do a pattern sometime. These are just everyday, ordinary things. But don't overlook the ordinary. Celebrate the ordinary. We have built a friendship for 30 years on everyday, ordinary things. Those are the things we have to get through. The ordinary things. Oh, it's always great to go on vacation. Everybody's in a good mood. You have a good time. But what do you do in those everyday, ordinary times? That's where your bond comes. Alicia mentioned that legacies are passed on, and a strong bond comes from these traditions and legacies that help form her identity and win her heart. Of course, the most important thing, to get your daughter's heart is to talk about faith. The key to your daughter's heart comes from God. From the beginning, talk to your daughter about spiritual things. Alicia covered that. Take her to Bible study, Sunday school, and church. I loved junior church, and I got saved there when I was in the second grade. I came to know the Lord in junior church. Alicia loved Vacation Bible School so much, she spent $20 of her own money to buy a Vacation Bible School kit so she could teach those dolls that were there in the room, Speak each other's love language. Know what kinds of things interest and please one another. The other day, we were out shopping, and Alicia came out of the store, and she had a sweater and a necklace she'd bought for me. I'd been really sick with bronchitis and so forth for a while. I was thrilled. I was just thrilled with that. Praise your daughter. Encourage her. Praise her. Praise her. Praise her. That's what I would say. Praise her. God will reward your efforts. Spend lots of time in right height conversations when she's a teen. We spent a lot of hours sitting on my bed having those. You enter her world just as you did when she was a toddler on the floor. That's how you enter her world. When God's heart, your heart, and your daughter's heart are bonded, both mom's and daughter's faith will grow. So what is mine and Alicia's relationship now? I would like to think that we are friends, encouraging one another to grow biblically as wise women in the Lord. One of my joys in life is to be able to say, my daughter loves the Lord.
We have a little bit of a shift in topic now. We should just end there. I love hearing her talk. When we planned for this seminar, we asked several moms what they would like to hear in this type of a seminar. And so many mentioned the issues with social media, all these things that are attacking our daughters, that we felt like we couldn't ignore it. So we just wanted to touch on it briefly. We understand that we live in a complex society. There are things that you and I will have to deal with our daughters that my mother didn't have to, even with me. I like to think I'm still in this generation, but the teens in our teen group let me know constantly I am not, not in their generation. So I want to take a minute here just to send out some warnings. I know I don't have a teenage daughter yet. However, like Mom said, I've been a high school teacher for 5 years. And before we had children, and then the last 8 years I've taught homeschool classes for our high schoolers in our church. And then for the past 11 years, my husband and I have worked with the teenagers there at Birch Terrace, and we've seen teens a lot in different contexts, like at midnight after an activity, you know? And so we've seen teenagers a lot, and I want to express the importance here of social media, internet, cell phones, Facebook, all of these kinds of things. Mom just spent a lot of time telling us to win our daughter's heart, to work on gaining the heart of our daughter. And I want to say here, dear mothers, to all of us, don't spend years of work and prayer winning our daughter's heart only to let social media and the internet and cell phones take it away. It's kind of what I believe to be the core issue. All of those things, they steal the focus, they steal the attention of our daughters. Be selfish with her heart. God gave it to you to protect, to teach, to guide, and that's part of our responsibility. I think that if physical harm came towards our daughters, a car was coming or something, probably every mother in this room, we would put ourselves bodily in front of our children to save them from that kind of harm. So why do we sit by and allow spiritual and emotional disaster to come at our children via the internet, cell phones, all of those things? Why aren't we throwing ourselves in the way to protect them and guard them from those things? Is it because we're afraid to make a plan? These things are important to teenagers. It's hard to say no. It's hard to set up guidelines that might be different than so-and-so's guidelines. We could do a whole seminar, of course, on this. We could find all sorts of lists, or we could absolutely scare ourselves with all the research that's out there. But there are just a few things I wanted to touch on just briefly here that we've seen over the past 11 years working with teenagers. The first thing, moms, please don't be naive or passive. Be proactive. There's a lot out there. Don't be naive to what is going on in many of our girls' lives. We tend to think of this as an issue for our sons. Let me tell you, this is a huge issue for girls. They're so social relationship driven that things like Facebook, texting, all of these things, it steals them away. And it's a big problem for our young ladies. They flock to social media type things. Be involved with what your daughter's a part of. Don't just enter her world for the issues mom is talking about. Be a part of all of these things in their lives as well. The next thing here, I recently heard a message from our own youth pastor to our teenagers about how these things compete with our teens' focus. He was making the comment, have you ever gotten a text? What is it about texts that we have this compulsion that we have to read it? You know, your phone buzzes and it's like, where's my phone? When was the last time we felt that same compulsion for this text? We have to read it. We have to give this to our children. It's our teens are really stuck in this world. They can't be away from their phones or computers. It's like an extension of their arm. I'm convinced some of them, their phones are always there. Pray for guidance to help keep your teens focus on God, because it will steal their heart away so quickly. If we've made these parenting goals that we talked about earlier, then hopefully we've set those boundaries and standards when our children are young. If we can do it when they're young, those of us who have young children, the internet and all that has gotten so popular, even in the last 10 years, those of us with young children, set up those boundaries now so that they always grow up with those boundaries. That's all they know. And then when they get to their teen years, that's just how our family does things. And then it's much easier to enforce those standards. Those of you who have teenage girls, there are a little few things here that I wanted to bring our attention to. Don't be afraid to deal with social media problems, is how I put it there. The first thing, spend much time in prayer that God will give you the appropriate words and that your daughter, she'll be receptive to those words. And you know, if we spent all that time, like Mom said, gaining our daughter's heart, then we have to bring up these decisions that she may not agree with. If we have our daughter's heart, it'll be much easier to put those things into place. She may not agree with that rule, but if we have her heart, she'll know that we always have her best interest in mind. The second thing here, set strict boundaries and explain them. If you have teenagers, take them to God's Word. Show them what God's Word says. Let them help you make some standards. Explain why we're choosing to do what we do as a family. They're fully capable of understanding what God's Word says to them. I'm so appreciative that my dad always did that with me. From early on, if this was going to be something he chose for our family as a standard, he would explain why. So that, you know, when I'm 20 years old and someone says, well, why do you do this? I don't know. Dad decided we do this. No. God's Word says we should do this. This is what Dad showed me. And I'm so thankful he did that. Let's do that with our teenagers. Let's show them. We can never go wrong taking them to God's Word. The last thing here, be consistent even when it's inconvenient. If you allow your daughter to have a Facebook account and you say, I'm going to check up on you, you know, and then 2 months later, well, I don't really have time to check up on what. Make it your goal to be consistent with them. If you choose to let them do that, be on top of it. Again, don't be passive. Be on top of it. They know you are right there. If they're texting, they know you are right there. Whatever they're doing, throw yourself in the path of harm so that you're constantly protecting your daughter from what's out there. We get lost in our culture, and we forget God's purpose for our mother-daughter relationships. Again, the language of biblical womanhood that commends the gospel. This is what we're supposed to pass to our daughters. If you have a 2-year-old daughter, like me, start right now. Get that heart. If you have an elementary age daughter, what a fun age. The tea parties, things we're going to share in the notebook, great things. If you have a teenage daughter, don't be afraid to dive in. People look at me sometimes funny because I love, absolutely love working with teenagers. I am just strange like that. I think that about elementary teachers. I love teenagers. I love working with them. Dive in with your teenage daughter. Become a part of her life. Now we get to the fun part. Mom and I would like to look at the notebooks we gave you. A couple of these pages, just in the short time we have left. After your outline, the next thing, this is an excerpt from a book called Girl Talk by Carolyn Mahaney. It's right there, the pink book. If you've never used this book, it was highly recommended to us. And this is an excerpt from Chapter 3, A Study for You to Do with Your Daughters. This is a great book. Mom and I were looking through it, and just the conversation starters, really seeing the heart of your daughter in some of these questions. We put just an excerpt from here, an example that you can read through later, especially if you have an older, maybe a teenage daughter. This would be a great thing to dive into with your daughter. The second thing in your notebook, where it says creative ideas for moms and daughters, we just went through and collected a whole bunch of fun stuff that you can do with your daughters. I know you guys are creative and you have your own ideas, but some of our favorites, and my mom really did this with me, the first little circle there, record yourself doing a cooking show with your daughter. I loved that. And so one day, it was meatloaf. Was it meatloaf? We made meatloaf. And we recorded our cooking show, and, you know, she got everything out for me. And then you add this and that. They love doing that kind of things. I've actually done that with my son. We were making Rice Krispie treats because my level of cooking skills are a little low. No, at the very bottom of the page, help your daughter create a recipe book. My mother-in-law did this for me, and at the time, she gave it to me as a shower gift, and I have treasured that. She put all of my husband's favorite recipes. She started collecting them on cards and got me a little Longaberger recipe box and then gave it to me at my shower. I treasure that, and I've added to it over the years. She's a fabulous cook. Kind of a neat thing. Start to collect those with your daughter. Oh, there's all sorts of them here. I tried to divide them up by ages, preschoolers, grade schoolers, teenagers. Some other things over on the third page, things like entering a class together. You know Michael's craft store, they do cake decorating classes, flower arranging classes. They do all these fun. What about getting into a class with your teenage daughter if that interests her, or your elementary school daughter? A book club, if you have a reader. Mom and I, like she said, we're both literature teachers. We love reading. We would love to sit down and read a book together and then discuss that. Maybe your daughter's a reader, and you can get down there and have reading time with her. Read the same book at her level. Enjoy doing that together. Create your own at-home salon. We've done that. I mean, the whole thing where, you know, I do weird things. You probably figured that out. I made, like, a little list of how much things cost when you get your hair done, and I don't even want to know. My mom's hair, we have a picture of it. You don't want to see it. After I finished her hair, bless her soul. My boys, I take them to the dollar store. Does anybody else do that? Dollar store is the greatest place for kids. They love that place, and they think it is good stuff. And don't tell my boys anything that contrary to that. They love the dollar store. The grocery store. I took my little two-year-old daughter recently to the grocery store, and she has one of those little carts, those little kitty carts. And she drove along by me with her doll in it, and I would say, pick this off the shelf. She was adorable. Even elementary girls, let them help make a grocery list. Teenagers, grocery list, recipes, the whole thing. Let them plan a meal for a week. If they love doing that, get involved. Coupons. Teach them how to coupon. Your times with your daughters, the very last thing here, it says they don't have to be a big event, but make them often. Use all those times. Use teachable moments. And then sometimes just have a moment without the lesson. Just have fun on some of those things. Enjoy being with them. We could go on for hours. My mom was excellent. She did all of these things on this list for me. I have so many memories of our time together. We have to go on. The next one is from a seminar my mom did on teaching your daughters about intimacy at all the different ages. That's a difficult thing. She did a fabulous job. If you ever get a hold of that seminar. But she did put her notes in here. That was from 3 years ago, if you were there 3 years ago. So in a help, hopefully these notes will at least be a help to you. Our resource pages, we have a couple resource pages. This one right here that you have to turn sideways. This was my prayer journal, my example. I hope it's a help, maybe just to get you started. Praying for specific things. One of them that I saw in that book that was neat, pray about your child's room. I thought, pray about your child's room. And her point was, pray about your child and what they even do in their room. What do they do in those quiet moments when you're not there? What do they think about? What do they look at? And it was just so many things that were just different to my thinking. I hope it's a help. Please make your own list, and I'm sure it'll change. The last one in here, this is what we wanted to get to. This is an excerpt from, we have permission here to print a couple pages. Mom, if you want to hold these books up. These are two books about tea parties, and we put a little excerpt in here. They're the cutest thing. I can't wait for my daughter to get a little bit older. There are all these themes for tea parties. Some of them are like a sleepover where you take your sleeping bags, just you and your daughter. You take your sleeping bags, you light a candle, and you get a good book, and, you know, you make s'mores in the microwave, and you just have fun. This one is an outdoor nature one, and then it has verses that you study with your daughter. You know, maybe you do this once a month or something, and then the recipes in the back, which is where we got your cherry lemonade, and you all have your little lemonade placemat so you can kind of put it on the tea table and make your own little tea set and hopefully have a really enjoyable time. If anything, Mom and I, we wanted to be an encouragement today. We know you know this information, but I hope it's been an encouragement. I hope we are challenged to get excited about the precious gift that God has given us in our daughters, be inspired to spend time with them. Speaking from the daughter's perspective, I'm so thankful for the blessing God gave me in my mother. So let's build and maintain strong and joyful mother-daughter relationships.